a sequel. The great author's reputation had been made by their first book. For the next two decades, rumors of a follow-up swirled with varying velocities. Sometimes the next book was halfway done, other times it resided in the publisher's hands. Occasionally, hundreds of manuscript pages were said to have been burned in frustration, and the entire project started anew. The following two decades' worth of gossip fixated less on the writing and more on the reasons there'd been none. Neighbors blabbed of curbed recycling bins overflowing with empties. Book reviewers took pot shots, using the author's name as shorthand for inactivity or wasted talent. Old friends fielded late-night phone calls from the author, who seemed distraught, yet distantly so, causing some of them to harbor suspicions that their friend, who they'd secretly begun referring to as the once great author, had started using opiates or benzodiazepines to dull the pressure of their initial success, and this, in turn, had become its own sort of pressure, that of always having to be able to locate, buy, and use opiates or benzodiazepines. Even 40 years later, whispers of another novel lingered. The most persistent rumor in circulation claimed that a follow-up book had been buried years prior in a trunk in the author's backyard, while instructions in their will called for posthumous exhumation and publication. Where this rumor started, it was impossible to say, but its hidden treasure romanticism carried its own momentum. Curious parties, however, had found the estate too large and well secured for a thorough search, and so the literarily inclined general public hunkered down to wait. Most agreed that even though it would not be long until the author passed due to their advancing age, or the pressure, or the despair, or the drinking, or the drugs, or any combination of these factors, the delay remained agonizing because of the book's potential.